Open your Bibles, please, for the last chapter of the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionot. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Timan, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand. And there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations. And the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word, Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck. Selah. Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, wow. It's quite an ending. Very poetic, very prophetic. Very plaintive in some cases, and yet rejoicing in the main. So, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionot. Well, Shigionot is a musical notation, and so it should not surprise us that the prophet speaks by way of instrument and song. This is not uncommon in the Old Testament. Those of you who were with us during our sermon on exclusive psalmody, we talked about how there are times when the people of God have prophesied together. That is, they have sung together. that there are times when, if you remember, Saul was among the company of prophets. They came down the hill and they were prophesying together, it says. In other words, they were singing. The same is true of Ezekiel. When he is asked to prophesy, he says what? Bring me a minstrel. And so when the minstrel plays, he prophesied. And so it is not surprising then that Habakkuk also utters his prophecy in the voice of song. All right, the second point is that the prophet has heard the word of the Lord. The prophet has heard. I hate to start a sentence with "the older I get," but I'm tempted to do so. Yeah, my wife said, no, don't do it. You know, when you look around, what do you see? I think a lot of times what we see is people that are hearing and hearing and hearing and yet never hearing. Hearing and hearing and hearing and yet never hearing. How can you tell that they're never hearing? Well, because there's never any effect. There's never any change. There's never any repentance. There's never any movement. It's we hear and we hear and we hear, and then we go back to what we have always done. Notice what Habakkuk says here. I have heard and I was afraid. He's not hearing just to hear. There is a particular affectation. There is a particular effect that what he has heard is having upon him. He is afraid. He has heard the word of the Lord. And what was the word that God gave to him in chapter 2? Judgment. Judgment. And what has he said? Oh no. Right? He's actually afraid of the judgments of God. This is good. This is a good example to us that he has heard the word of God and that he is afraid. It's okay to be afraid when the Lord says he's going to act in such a way that is fearful or awesome. I know we have lots of people talking about God is awesome today. This is what awesome is. That he's coming with his glittering sword and his shining spear. That's what awesome is. And so notice the request. As the prophecy will come in time, it's not going to happen right away. Remember, he heard that in chapter 2. So he says, in the midst of that time, revive thy work among thy people. Make thyself known in the midst of years. In wrath, remember mercy. What an amazing request. He has heard the word of the Lord that God has told him he's going to judge. Habakkuk does not stand up against the Lord. He does not complain. He does not murmur. He only asks that in the Lord's wrath, that he would remember mercy. That there would be some mitigating of that wrath according to the rahamim of God, the tender mercies of God. That's great, isn't it? You see, that's the kind of response. That's a faithful response. This is the thing that we look for. Not a standing up against God, not saying, hey, it's not fair, you shouldn't be doing this, can't you find another way? But you're right. It's time. It is time for judgment to come. But oh, my dear Father, in wrath, please remember mercy. Extremely well said and very instructive to us, I believe. All right, so then in verses 3 through 14, or 15, 3 through 15, this section, the prophet comforts himself and the people of God in remembering God's past judgments, that they have always been for good, and that this should be their expectation even now. There were times when God's people were sore affected, sorely afflicted by their enemies. And he quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 2, where Moses there writes about Seir, Edom, Timon, same place, and Paran, both Seir and Paran. Those were two enemies that rose up against Israel in the days of the Exodus. And the Lord did what? Well, he used them to afflict them, but in the end, they were good for the people of God. Those afflictions turned out to be good in that they might trust in their God and dedicate themselves once again to obedience. So from Deuteronomy 33:2 then, he is called Eloah, the Creator, the Holy One, who will not look upon sin. He executes judgments. He measures the earth. He gave his law for all peoples. And the implication here is that even the Chaldeans will answer to the law of God, who is the Creator and who is holy, in their judgments, as they are made use of by God as his hammer, as his stroke of judgment, so also they will be judged by his law, that fiery law that went out from him. So, in that sense then, there is comfort in the midst of judgment, in that the Chaldeans, they are not like Habakkuk ended up with in chapter 1, where he said, you know what's going to happen, they're going to be victorious and they're going to sacrifice to their own net. This will just inflame their idolatry. Here the answer comes, no, they won't. There is one law that goes forth for all the earth, and the Chaldeans will answer to that law as well. Next, he talks about the tents of Cushan and Midian. And if in your mind's thoughts you have gone to the book of Judges, that's good. That's exactly what you should have done. Because in the book of Judges, what happened? Do you remember? You remember the cycle, right? The people of God were faithful. They became lazy, fat, happy. They declined from their faithfulness into idolatry. The Lord sent them judgments. He sent them Cushan Rishathaim. He sent them the Midianites. And then when they cried out to the Lord in their straits, when they cried out to the Lord in their affliction, the Lord raised up a deliverer, a judge, to deliver them. And in the end, there was righteousness restored. And so, once again, here, the prophet recalls Cushan and Midian and that cycle in the book of Judges, whereby the Lord takes his people through a particular course in order to sanctify them. The elements of the earth became tools in the hand of the Lord as he delivered his people. He used water. He used floods. He used fire. He used all kinds of things. The Lord's hand is not shortened. And then this section ends with a reference to the great deliverance in the book of Exodus, as seen and it's kind of ironic. It says that the Lord went through the heap with his horses and his chariots. In other words, the horses and the chariots of the Egyptians were really the horses and chariots of the Lord, as the Lord turned them over and buried them in the sea. So then in verse 16, through the end of the chapter, the response of faith to the word of the Lord. Habakkuk says, these were difficult judgments of old time. Our people were in slavery. They were enslaved. They were killed with the sword. They were oppressed, and so on. And that is what we can expect even today for our sins. And so he says, there's a proper fear and shaking and loathing in the face of the Lord's judgments. They do come. And when they come in such a way so as to be fearful, to affect the Lord's ends, and they cannot be ignored. Second, this trembling is such that it leads to repentance and a refusal to rebel against the Lord's judgments, so that resting confidently in the Lord is the end. And then the prophet declares that those judgments will come, vehement and fearful. However, it is good to understand the fear of the Lord in these judgments as a hedge against faithlessness and complaint, so that one may make good use of his judgments, resting upon him and trusting in his loving chastisements. And this is how Habakkuk proceeds through this song. Then in verse 17, notice, all earthly comforts may fail. The fig tree, the vines, the olives, the grain, the flock, the herd. From the least to the greatest, right? From the fig tree to the herd, and everything in between. But in all these, the prophet declares that all that for which the people labor shall be cut off. All earthly comfort and support shall be destroyed in the judgments that the Lord sends. Now for some, that will bring murmuring, complaint, panic, stealing, oppression. But notice the prophet's response. His trembling is done. He has, before the judgment come, committed himself to faith, to a heartfelt repose upon the Lord. And though all these things fail, he says, yea, I will rejoice in the Lord. He will stay himself upon his God. God and not these things are his strength. And like a sure-footed deer also then shall the prophet dwell with the Lord in his high places. This is how Habakkuk ends. Not with a fearful prophet cowering at the judgments of God, but resigned to those judgments for the good that they will do, because those are the things that will set his feet upon the high places. Now, the epilogue, we note simply where it says, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. This has been a difficulty for some, especially we as psalm singers. We have looked upon this passage and wondered, some of us, if Habakkuk should belong in our catalog of songs that we sing. In response to that, that is not my view, although it is the view of some. Let me just say a couple of things. The first thing is that if Habakkuk 3 is to be included in the worship repertoire of the church, that just because we have moved outside the 150 canonical psalms and added Habakkuk 3 to the repertoire does not mean then we can logically reason to uninspired song, which is what some try to do. And that's just a silly way to reason. It doesn't make any sense. But secondly, notice that Habakkuk is a song with a particular historical context, given at a time when the people of God were at a low ebb in their faith. That my view of Habakkuk chapter 3 is that it is a song that is given for a particularly focused use in history. That it was given to the chief musician at that time for the people of God because of the impending judgments to come from the Chaldeans. And that is why we don't find it in the Psalter. We don't find it in the Psalter because it is not part of the eternal praise repertoire of the church throughout the history of redemption. It is a laser-focused, historically contextual psalm that is given for the people of God in that day. However, having said that, I can say this also, that although I've not done the work, I've only done a little bit of it, that you can take the propositions that we find in Habakkuk chapter 3, and if you would trace them out through the Psalter, while you would not find all of Habakkuk 3 in the Psalter, you will find a large majority of it there, spoken in other ways and in other contexts in those psalms of the 150 canonical Psalter. So there you go. Let's stand then and call upon the Lord in the singing of psalms.